Hello and welcome to this podcast from the Grace Baptist Mission Radio team. You're about to hear an episode of Serving Today, which is a program for pastors and church leaders. It will also be of interest if you're involved in discipling others, or perhaps you teach the Bible one-to-one or in a small group. Serving Today will be a helpful resource for a wide range of believers. Welcome to Serving Today, the program for pastors and church leaders. This is Andrew Cook. It's good to have your company again. Preaching Old Testament Narrative, the new series continues. And Witnessing for Christ, more from Dr. John Hall. Last time here on Serving Today, we introduced a series about preaching from Old Testament narrative. If we're to correctly handle the stories in the Old Testament, we're going to need the right tools. And to provide us with some of these, here's Jim Sayers with the first one.
First of all, study the structure of the story. Is there more than one scene? Maybe the narrator takes you from one place, tells you a bit of the story that happened there, then he takes you to another place. Maybe he takes you from earth and the events on earth to see the perspective of heaven, God's perspective, and then man's perspective. Maybe he then takes you to the enemy's perspective and we hear the enemies of the people of God speaking. Then we hear Israel's perspective. So the scenes change, a bit like in a film. It goes from place to place very quickly and it cuts from one place to the next. And suddenly, everything turns on one event. And that event must be very important, therefore. So, the first thing to do is try and sketch out the story structure and see if it's moving to a climax at the end. See if there's one crucial hinge moment around some action in the middle. Study the structure of the story.
And narrative will generally include some dialogue. How does that help us?
Listen very carefully to the dialogue. That's the second tool. We have to evaluate what's being said. Just because someone has said something in the Bible doesn't mean that it's actually good and right. Look at the flow of the story in its context. You know, maybe the unbeliever, the ungodly man, speaks first. And then the man of God speaks to answer them. And then the story works out to a conclusion. So just because one of the enemies of King David says something doesn't mean it's right. King David will answer him. And there'll be a criticism of something that's been said. So listen carefully to the dialogue.
We need to study the structure of the story and listen carefully to the dialogue. What's the next tool that helps us as we teach Old Testament narrative?
Think about character. Every story turns on key characters. In classic stories, whether they're in the Bible or elsewhere, there's always a hero. Now, in Scripture, the only hero is God. Even Moses doesn't make it to the promised land. And so all the characters in Scripture other than God are sinners. And we can't take everything they do as a perfect example. We've always got to bear that in mind. In Old Testament narrative, every good character is in some way pointing forwards to Jesus in the good things that they do, but they always leave us disappointed to make us ready for Jesus. And you can see that particularly, for example, in the characters of David and Solomon, that there are ways in which they point forward to Jesus, but other ways in which their lives are chaotic. So think about each character.
And are there any dangers that we should avoid when we think about characters?
Never impose something on a character that the text doesn't tell us. So the only source we've got to work out this character is what the text tells us. You see, the danger is that we try and get inside their mind and we kind of shape them and their attitudes and their behaviour in our own image. Now, they don't come from my culture or yours. They don't come from an African culture or an Asian culture. They come from the culture of the ancient world, so some things are going to be quite different. At the same time, the human condition is always the same in lots of essential things. We're made in the image of God, we're fallen, we need to be redeemed. So be careful not to just sort of impress yourself on this character and start turning them into you. Make sure that you are listening to the text. And you're building your exposition and your understanding of the passage on what the text actually tells you.
What else can we look for to help us when we're working on Old Testament narrative?
Tool number four is look for the obvious statements. The narrator may have given us a verse that stands out as stating the meaning of the passage. In Samuel and Kings, this is very often the case. There may be a direct word from God expressing his mind on some event, or it may be a comment at the end of the story by the narrator, where, for example, Samuel will be picked out by the author as being honored by God and everybody respects him as a prophet. Or it may be that there's a child that's born and the child is given a name. Names are very important in biblical narrative. So look for those clues, the obvious statements. Is there an obvious verse that unlocks the meaning of the passage? If it is there, it will be clear. We don't have to take something and twist it to mean something else. Look for the obvious statements. And then look for the repeated phrases. Does the story use a play on words? Does it repeat phrases? So, for example, in the narrative of the plagues in the book of Exodus, we have that repeated phrase, but Pharaoh hardened his heart. And in all the covenant statements all the way through Genesis and Exodus, we have the Lord saying, I am the Lord. I will be with you. I have sent you. And when a phrase like that is repeated, we know that its meaning must be significant.
As we continue our series on the subject of witnessing for Christ, a question that often comes to the believer's heart and mind is, why should we tell others about our Saviour? Well, Derek French put this question to Dr. John Hall, and this is how he responded.
Well, the simple answer, Derek, is this. Jesus commanded us to do so. He said to his disciples as he ascended in Acts 1:8, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Now, it must have meant more than just that group of people who saw him. It must have included all who came after them, those following and resting on the eyewitness apostolic accounts. And in any case, Jesus told his disciples also at the same time in Matthew 28:19-20, therefore go and make disciples of all nations. And in order to do that, it means that each Christian has to witness. Perhaps because each Christian alone has access to someone's heart. You may be able to speak to your parents or to your relatives in a way that your pastor at church couldn't.
John, can you give us an example from the Bible of someone who wasn't an apostle or a recognised church leader who actually did witness?
There's a story in Mark 5:18-20, where the Lord Jesus drove out demons from a demon-possessed man called Legion. And Legion begged to go with Jesus, but Jesus said to him, go home to your family and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you. So the man went away and began to tell in Decapolis how much the Lord had done for him, and all the people were amazed. If you've just been converted, now's the time to tell your family. When I was first converted as a 19-year-old young man, my family thought I was mad. Particularly my sister was very angry with me. But 10 years later, she was saved. Her husband was saved. All her three children are saved. And other members of my family too, as a result of hearing the gospel. So let me encourage you, if you're a new Christian, to tell your family. And what are you to tell them? How much Jesus has done for you. If he has, Jesus commands you to speak out.
What you said there about your family, John, is a real encouragement, not only to new Christians to tell others, but to those of us who have been followers of Jesus for a long time, because I think sometimes we can, well, not take up the challenge of witnessing, and or perhaps feel, because we've talked to somebody so often, they'll never be converted.
I think that's true, and by the time my sister was converted, I'd almost given up hope and ceased to speak very much. And I find the older I get, the more difficult it becomes. But I heard last night another story. A young man in church said that his uncle had just been baptised. He was about 70. And the family had been praying for him for many, many years. And he was converted in that when he was retiring, he went to a retirement conference, met a Christian there who witnessed to him, and he went home and prayed and was saved. Mm. And so we should never give up on witnessing to our relatives. We should always have this picture before us of the great need of our friends and relatives and neighbours. Mm. They're like people who are blind and they walk into the edge of a great cliff where when they fall off, they live endlessly in hell. Now, as you see people getting nearer and nearer this great drop, you want to stop them running over the edge. And you want to stand in front of them and say, no, don't go that way. Because you realise how you were once blind. You were heading in the same direction. And someone came and told you about the good news about Jesus. And by God's grace, you believed. And so you want the people around you to be rescued from that broad way to destruction and head for heaven through trusting in Christ.
John, can you give us one or two examples of this from the New Testament in particular?
Do you remember after Stephen's death, there was a period of persecution in Jerusalem? And Luke writes this in Acts 8 and verse 1. On that day, a great persecution broke out against the church at Jerusalem, and all except the apostles were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. So we see then the church leaders remaining in Jerusalem, the apostles, the ones that you might consider were the special preachers and evangelists. And then, with no leaders, these new Christians, who hadn't been Christians very long, were scattered. Were they unable to herald the gospel? Were they unable to preach? Luke writes this. Those who had been scattered preached the word wherever they went. Now, such preaching doesn't mean that you get them in a pulpit in church. It means that they, wherever they went, spoke about Christ. The word preaching there means to declare what Christ has done. And some of these believers were reaching a great Syrian city many hundreds of miles north of Jerusalem in Antioch, where as a result of their witness, the Lord saved Jew and Greek. And a vigorous church was planted there, which was one of the first churches to send out missionaries, those great missionaries, Paul, Barnabas, and later Silas. You can read about that in Acts 11 and 13. So wherever God sends us, we can speak to others if we are believers of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us.
Just interesting thinking of that, how the Lord overruled the persecution, which was intended to stop the spread of the gospel, and used it to make the gospel spread even more.
Yes, that is indeed a great encouragement. And whether we live in the West or the East, whether we live in comfort or in discomfort, the Apostle Peter tells us this, that it's our duty of all of us to do this. This is 1 Peter 3:15. Always be prepared, he says, to give an answer to everyone who asks you, to give the reason for the hope that you have.
With that challenge from John Hall, we have to bring this edition of Serving Today to a close. So this is Andrew Cook saying goodbye. May the Lord make us and our churches his obedient servants, ready, willing and eager to share the good news about Jesus with as many people as we can. We hope you enjoyed listening to Serving Today, a podcast from the Grace Baptist Mission Radio team. If you'd like to get in touch with us, you can email us. The address is servingtoday@gbm.org.uk. That's servingtoday@gbm.org.uk. You can also follow us on Twitter. The address there is @servingtodaygbm, @servingtodaygbm. Thanks for listening and goodbye.